And good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Well, as you probably know, the last two Saturdays have been recorded programs, so if you send me texts giving me pointers and helping me out, I really don't know what the conversation was because I didn't listen to the recorded program. Anyway, I'm here live right now. What is the deal outside? It's dark. What are we heading into fall or something? Anyway, someone's trying to call. Since it's been 2 weeks, let me do what I can to help somebody, okay? Thanks. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Roy.
Oh, you got me. Good girl.
I got you. Yes, I've been watching the clock.
I didn't even give out the phone number or anything.
I know. Well, I had it written down. I've been listening to your podcast from the radio station.
Really?
Yes. All the way back to 2015.
Well, that's not very far back.
Well, that's all that's listed on the...
Oh, well, yeah. I totally get it. No, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, what can I do today for you? How can I help?
Okay. I have a 3-year-old grandson who has eczema or psoriasis, whichever one. It's like all over, and all he does is scratch and itch all the time. So
is he
I'm
becoming a bloody mess?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes. And we've tried different soaps, natural, goat milk. Of course, all kinds of ointments, natural and prescription.
Is there any chance he has tubes in his ears?
No, but he does have sinus allergies. They have to give him Claritin, or they give him Claritin every morning. Yes.
Do you know as a baby if he was breastfed or nursed by his mama?
He was for a while. He was a preemie.
Oh, well, give me a timeline. 34 weeks, 36 weeks?
He was a month early, so whatever that is. She had
36, I guess.
Placenta previa or whatever, so they had to take him a month early.
Okay.
So he was in the hospital for 2 weeks, but she did pump, and so they gave him that.
Well, let me give you just one simple idea to kind of start the ball rolling as far as how are we going to fix this? Because that's what you want, right?
Yes.
Okay, most likely when they took him early, they gave the mom an IV, and in the IV they probably inserted some type of antibiotics, right?
Right.
Was this a C-section?
Yes.
Okay. No, it's coming together. And so just let me say this as a starting point. About 6 or 7 years ago, I came across an article, and they said children that were delivered, and by the way, you know I am not trying to be critical or make a person sad. I'm just trying to find a way to kind of sort through this, like, what are we going to do, and what's the best play to restore the health of this kid? So it's not like I'm pointing the finger, but I'm just kind of sensitive to that, because I don't want people to feel like I'm judging them at all, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so when you have a C-section, the risk of a child having asthma is super, super, super high. And let me explain the reason why. Under normal circumstances, when the uterus goes through contractions and the baby comes through the cervix into the mama's birth canal or her reproductive, tract, all the beneficial bacteria that completely coat. Now, I know this sounds strange coming from me, but the mouth is much, much dirtier as far as microbes and bacteria than the female reproductive tract. The female reproductive tract, it has this generous coating of beneficial microbes and bacteria that keep that environment very healthy and very clean. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so when the baby kind of corkscrews through the birth canal, all these beneficial bacteria, they kind of attach to the baby, who's completely sterile at that point. There's not a germ or a microbe on him. And so when they come through the birth canal, it's almost like all of mama's bacteria, they jump off of mama onto the baby so they can start to colonize. And that's the basis right there for the immune system having a reason to start working properly. It's just like an amazing, beautiful thing. And so one point or one angle I'm getting toward is when the baby comes out through C-section, it doesn't get that generous, generous coating. See, if I had my way, we would take every baby that was a C-section, and we would just rub all, you know what I'm going with this, I don't have to like flesh it out, we would rub all of it all over the baby to give the baby a chance to have a great solid immune system. And so the next point that I'm getting to is, and I think this will start to make sense to you, the number one predictor of a child that's going to start negatively reacting to dairy products from a cow, whether it's milk or it's yogurt or cheese, that probably covers just about everything dairy-wise. If you want to say ice cream's a different category, I'm going to go, oh, brother, okay. but the number one predictor is going to be the amount of good beneficial microbes they have in their on their outer skin and their inner skin. And their inner skin, I want to call that the lining of the gut.
Right.
And so if the child has a deficiency of beneficial bacteria, that will predispose them more so to having a dairy allergy or allergic reaction. So let me float an idea to you just from my experience. I only have 30 years. That's not really worth that much, is it? But no, if the kid's got eczema, dairy is the deal. If it's psoriasis, then wheat's the deal. I know, I've seen one person after the other every single day for how, who knows, I don't even think I've had a vacation in like 3.5 years, maybe 4. And so the thing of it is, I'm there every single day in the trenches, and I get to find out firsthand. So when somebody I saw this woman the other day with the worst rashes of all time, and it was a nut allergy to almonds and to coconuts. And so what does she do like a few days later? She goes, oh my goodness, Dr. Morgan, all of a sudden I'm getting better. Well, I'm thinking, I think that's because we're removing, you know, the obstacle to healing. And so with this child, that's my first gut instinct, is the child's got like a dairy allergy.
Okay.
So is there any chance the child is consuming milk?
Of course.
Well, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yes.
Because if you said no, then I got to go on to plan B. Like, what else could it be? And so here's what I want you to think of. Number one, if we can just remove anything remotely related to a cow protein, that's going to be lactalbumin and casein. So let me give you an alternative real quick that might be like a really easy transition for the child. Let's say the kid loves cheese and loves yogurt. You can go to the store right now. It's incredible. They have goat yogurt and they have sheep yogurt. I was at a place called Natural Grocer in Tyler, and I looked on the shelf and I said, sheep yogurt? Wait, you mean strawberry sheep yogurt? I'm in. And so I tried it and I thought to myself, nobody would know the difference. If you had one of those sheep yogurts that had strawberries in the bottom of it and you stirred it up, you'd say, are you kidding me? I think I've died and gone to heaven. This stuff is awesome. It's that good. So you could easily transition to that. And I really don't find that goat or the sheep proteins adversely affect the lining of the gut. But this is autoimmune in nature, which means we've got to figure this out. So the kid needs minerals. Anytime that a human being or a little bit of human baby or body is stressed, even if that body's 40 years old or 50 years old or 30, you've got to have minerals to calm down the immune system. You just got to have them. And so if I were guessing also, I would say the child is probably very, very deficient in minerals. Now, that's not me trying to be critical. You know me well enough to know that. And so we got to find a way to get the kid a little bit more magnesium, a little bit more potassium, maybe even sulfur. Do you think the child would eat sweet potatoes or avocados?
I don't know. He's a picky eater, but we'll try.
Oh, boy. Is he stronger willed than Mama?
Absolutely.
What's his name, by the way? Is it Joshua?
No.
What is his name?
Harrison with an A.
What? Harrison with an A?
Yeah, not an H, with an A.
Oh, man, he sounds strong-willed right out of the chute.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we got to find a way, and so I'm going to suggest to you two or three things. Number one, and you know, whatever I tell you, at some point, you're going to have to accept what I'm saying through faith, because I can't, like, prove it over the radio.
Right.
We're on the radio. I can't examine a kid on the radio. I mean,
right.
In my mind, I think I can, but it's not the same as figuring out in person. So here's number one. There is a very, and this is where you need to trust me, there's a very easy to obtain or procure a homeopathic remedy. It's called Nux Vomica.
Okay.
That's spelled N-U-X, and the second word is V-O-M-I-C-A. It's almost like the word vomit. I know that doesn't sound very good. And so what I think of, and just let me float an idea, it's not on the label is not going to say how I'm promoting it. What I want to do is I want to promote this is one of the easiest, gentlest ways that we can help this body detoxify. And so if I say the word detoxification, are you okay with we need his body to kick out any toxic debris or waste that's not doing him any favors? Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's as simple as that then. So here's what we want. We want to start to detoxify him. And if you give him Nux Vomica, several pellets, 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, you're going to see his fortunes turn on a dime. Number next, the idea of prebiotics and probiotics. Now, I doubt that I can get a 2-year-old to say, hey, give me some Bubby sauerkraut. What about some fermented raw pickles? What about fermented... Do you like... fermented carrots and peppers and cauliflower and stuff like that. I think it's delicious.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, but to get a 2-year-old to like it, it's like if we waited 30 years, he would say, now I like it, but I didn't like it then. But if you can't give him that, then a lot of times what I'll do is I'll use probiotics that have prebiotics mixed with them. Because a lot of times prebiotics would be called things like fructooligosaccharides. They're actually sugars that are undigestible by the human body, but the bacteria that live in the human body, they eat these things like candy and it helps them to become stronger and to spread and to grow. What I want mom to do with the child is I want her to use her imagination. I'm not going to say anything more than what I'm going to tell you right now. I'm just going to tell you she's got to use her imagination to coat the child's body with beneficial bacteria. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
So just play along with me here. We got to find a way to transfer mama's beneficial microbiome to the baby. I know he's not a baby. I'm just joking about that. Are you kidding? If Arison hears this podcast, he's going to be gunning for me, so I don't want that. And so if you give the child a probiotic, if it's called a probiotic slash prebiotic, I think that's you're going to be in a very, very good place. And the thing of it is, if you find one that's super delicious, you could just open up the capsule, dump it in the kid's mouth, and he'll say, yummy, it's called a sugar vitamin. Or that's what I would do. I'd say, hey, who wants a sugar vitamin? And they all line up like little birds in a nest, holding their mouth up right before I drop an earthworm. I mean, a probiotic into it. And so if you can do that, we can start to tilt and win the battle here. But you're going to have to, for a season, give up dairy products. Now, can I tell you a story real quick?
Sure.
Okay. The other day I had a young mother in my office, and she had, I'm thinking it was a little 2-year-old girl. Maybe the girl was 4 years old. If I forget... Okay, I've slept since then. But the kid's covered with this eczema rash all over her body, and she's just in misery. I don't have to ask you if you know what it's like to run your fingers across perfect baby skin, because you're going to say, oh my word, that stuff is silky smooth. It's like incredible. But you've run your fingers over eczema before, and you're thinking, how angry could the skin be? Because it's crusty and inflamed and it's painful and it's cracked and split and bleeding. It's just a mess, isn't it? And so when the woman was in my office, I was just about finished with her, telling her everything that I wanted her to do, but the child was reacting to dairy products. So I said, okay, here's the deal. There's no way around this. What is the best thing possible? We're going to have to run straight toward it and just attack this, which means you got to give it up totally, give up the dairy. And just about that time, Deborah walks into my office. And I'm going, oh, this is going to be the perfect transition, because Deborah, not that long ago in the past, had the most bloody, scabby eczema that you've ever seen in your life. It looked like somebody burned her skin with a blowtorch. It was that bad. And she was in misery. And so here's how I thought it was going to play out. I was going to say, ma'am, You don't really have to take my word for this. Just listen to Deborah talk, because Deborah will tell you exactly everything that worked for her. And let me tell you what Deborah said. I thought Deborah was going to be like my stepping stone to like a great example of how this works. And I was saying, look at here, look at, talk, just talk to Deborah. She'll tell you how she did this. She goes, yeah, I haven't followed my diet in like 5 or 6 months now. My skin's still perfectly healthy. I don't even follow the diet that Dr. Morgan tells me. And I'm going, great, this is not what I want her to say. But the point is, if she's to the point now that she can open up her diet and go back to either dairy or wheat, I mean, doesn't that tell you that she's healed? Doesn't it? So right. She's able to go back to those things. And so, in my mind, this is what we need for this beautiful, beautiful little three-year-old. We need to get into a point of healing. That way, if he has ice cream or if he has, you know, cheese, he doesn't have a flare-up. But in order to do that, we're going to have to heal the lining of his gut and his immune system. There's no other way around it. And so the kid needs major, major probiotics and prebiotics that aren't dairy-based. It can be done. All this can be turned around in 1 week. I didn't say that bloody scabs of the skin will be completely gone in 1 week. That's not what I'm saying. But you could really move the needle in a good direction, and the kid could be in a good place in a week to 10 days.
Wow. Okay.
And you know what? When you cook him okra and sweet potatoes, you better serve it with a smile on your face, because I hear that delivery is everything to a three-year-old.
Yes, that is partially true, yes.
I like the way you put in the word partially. Or did you say parsley?
No.
And you know, I'm just sort of teasing with you a little bit. It is what it is. There's no way to sugarcoat this, but we've got to run toward healing for the child. And here's the prize here. If we can start to turn this around and make this autoimmune disease very, very quiet, where it doesn't rear its ugly head, then the child has a beautiful life. But if we do not, I can tell you what it's going to lead to.
Yeah.
He's going to go from asthma. He's going to go from eczema to asthma to lung infections to sinus infections to ear infections. And for all I know, it could develop up to just a life of just suffering. So the quicker we get through this, he won't even remember the torture that his mama put him through by, you know, reconditioning his body with her probiotics. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway. All right. Is that a good start?
That's a great start.
All right. Good. Yay. You are such an awesome grandmother. What's your grandmother name?
Kim. Oh, no. Lala.
Lala?
Uh-huh.
Are you kidding me? Lala?
Yeah. Lala.
Oh. I thought that's what you did when you put your fingers in yours and you didn't want to hear somebody talking. La la
well,
la la.
Well, that's exactly right.
Is that how it happened?
Yes.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yes, absolutely.
Lala, okay. I love you. You're great.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. I wish you the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, next order of business. The number of the radio station, if you want to call me and ask a question, is 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Hey, I owe it to you, right? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Doctor. Got a question about Charlie horses.
Oh,
boy. Do you
boy.
Have any possible solutions?
Well, tell me, how bad are they?
They're infrequent, but they definitely wake me up at night. They're only at night, and sometimes they do really just grab a hold of me.
Do you have to get up and dance a jig to make them go away?
Not quite.
Okay. I'm guessing they're magnesium-based.
Okay. That's good.
Well, it's good because it's fixable, and you can wrap your mind around that, and you can be better off for it. And so let me just say one or two points, and I'm sure they're not relevant to you, but here goes. When I look at the United States Department of Agriculture survey or soil surveys on magnesium content of the soil, it's abysmal. It makes me start to wonder, how are people going to get enough magnesium? And so if I suggest to you that you've got to have magnesium to counter carbohydrates and sugar, then you're probably going to counter that statement and say, well, what about the average American? I'm going to say, well, they're eating a boatload of sugar, right? So they're probably very, very deficient in magnesium. But if you were to start taking what's called magnesium throughout the day, I think you would tell me that your fortunes are turning on a dime. Now, let me give you some, like, radical ideas here.
Okay.
And these things are relatively cheap. It used to be... Now, I'm not trying to suggest that you might be a goat or a cow or a horse, because I'm going to recommend alfalfa. But if you were to go to, like, to Atwoods here in Jacksonville, you could walk back to the back of the store where they have the feed. And I think they smell great. I'm probably the weirdo here. But they sell these alfalfa cubes. And, man, are they dark green. If you ever see, like, an 18-wheeler driving down the road, it has these huge rectangular dark green bales of hay on them. That's alfalfa, that's alfalfa, baby. That's awesome stuff. Alfalfa has a super-duper long taproot to it, which means it doesn't just go down 2 or 3 inches. It goes down feet. And so the taproot of alfalfa is able to draw or suck or pull in the minerals from all those multiple layers of earth and dirt. And so you might even tell me that if you consume alfalfa tablets, you might start getting these alkaline ash minerals that your body is so thirsty for, because the electrical potential of a muscle, you're going to pull a Charlie horse or a cramp when you're low in minerals. Now, this is going to sound weird, but this is what my mama used to do. She would keep on, like, a teacup saucer, a little bitty plate or saucer of what's called Celtic or Celtic salt right by her bed. And she would, I remember her telling me that if she woke up with a cramp or she woke up and couldn't sleep, all she would do is she would take the tip of her, or the pad of her index finger, wet it on her tongue, and then reach over and just put her wet finger into the saucer that's covered with Celtic salt or Celtic salt. And then she would put it in her mouth and suck on it. And I said, well, what happened? And she said, I go right back to sleep and all the cramps go away. So if I told you which salt has the highest amount of natural occurring magnesium, oh boy, it would be Celtic or Celtic salt. Of course, it looks like wet, gray, dirty sand, but it's good for you. And so if you were to, and the other thing that I want you to do is I want you to start making your own Gatorade.
Okay.
And so when you have a big glass of water in front of you, just take a big honking scoop with a spoon of Concord grape juice concentrate that's in the frozen can. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
And if you'll put that in, stir it in. And the other reason that I want to think about is grapes are so good for your kidneys. Your kidneys are the gatekeepers for all minerals. And so when your body, when you have mental stress, when you're mentally exhausted or you've got an issue that you're dealing with, your body is burning through your magnesium and your potassium and your calcium and your minerals. And so we got to find a way to replace that. So if you took like a pinch of Celtic salt and stirred it into this weak grape juice mixture, what you're doing is you're nourishing your kidneys. Always remember that grape juice and grapes, very healing for the kidneys.
Okay.
And so if you start taking minerals like magnesium and alfalfa, I'm telling you, you're going to be in a completely different place. Those cramps will be gone. The other thing that you can do, do you have a wife?
No.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, if you take, for bad cramps, if you try rubbing olive oil all over your legs and then you let it soak in, let your skin drink and absorb the olive oil. That may take 30 minutes or so, but you'll be glad that you did. And so if you show just a little bit of loving care to your legs, these cramps will be a far-off distant memory.
Okay.
What do you think about those things?
I've got to give them a shot. I'm currently using magnesium tablets and potassium tablets, and that hasn't solved it. And I got a suggestion from my doctor. He told me to use sugar-free tonic water since I'm diabetic. And
that tells me you've got a very significant magnesium and zinc deficiency right there. I'm not judging you for that, but I think where I'm going to be a little bit different, if you can just switch this to, here's something that's probably going to be a game changer for you. if you would just eat meat and vegetables only, and maybe for the next week or so, you would just have one big green salad. It is perfectly fine by me if you cut up chicken or beef or tuna fish or eggs, whatever you want to put in there as far as meat goes. I think it's going to be great. Now, if you use a salad dressing that's based on soybean oil or cottonseed oil, something like that, that's probably not, that's called no bueno in Espanol. And so if you were to have like an olive oil based dressing with lemons, or lemon juice is what I meant to say, and that's the other thing. Make yourself, squeeze the juice of a lemon. That stuff is full of electrolytes. That is one topic that does not get enough press, is the electrical potential of electrolytes. And so if you get them from a natural form, that's going to be a game changer for you. You're going to tell me that all these issues are just disappearing and going away, and your health is becoming more radiant and better.
Okay.
I didn't say go to Atwoods and buy a cube of alfalfa and eat it like a cow. You're going to look for the tablets. But those are super cheap. Like a big bottle is like $5 total.
I'll definitely do that.
You have nothing to lose by trying these things, right?
You're right. So
good. Well, I think this is going to prove to be a very valuable experience for you, and I'm rooting for you, man.
I appreciate it. I need to improve my sleep.
So. Well, these things will greatly help you, and you'll sleep deeper. You know what? Even if the last meal of the day was just one meat and one vegetable, I can almost guarantee you that your sleep is going to improve. And I know I'm kind of hardcore about this, but desperate times call for desperate measures, right?
Yes.
So if you don't eat rice or corn or noodles or pasta or grains of any kind or sugar, I wouldn't even eat fruit for the last meal of the day. Let's see if your fortunes start to turn on a dime and you start becoming really, really happy and feel really good. And hey, okay. The truth is, you need to feel good to live the life that you want to live, right?
Yes.
Amen. Well, you can do it. I'm rooting for you.
All right. Appreciate the information.
Oh, you're so welcome. Have a good day. Enjoy your Saturday.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Here we go. I think it took three firm pushes to get that button activated. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, Dr. Morgan, I've heard you mention a few times that it is not wise or healthy to wear fingernail polish. Tell me why.
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier about the every square inch of your skin is supposed to be covered by beneficial bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to say hate, because that's kind of a strong word, but I hate the alcohol-based hand sanitizer, because all you're doing is you're stripping off the beneficial layer of bacteria. Now, I'm not going to go into this great detail unless you really want to know.
But, well, I really want to know, because I've been wondering for a long time, and I don't use that hand sanitizer. I just wash my hands.
Well, fingernail polish, I don't want to say it's the worst thing of all time, but it prevents your nail beds from breathing.
Okay.
And so when that happens, you're going to be more prone to fungus.
Oh, okay.
Or a chronic low-grade infection. So if you go to a doctor and they do like a white blood cell count, and you go, why is my white blood cell count like at 4.1? Well, that's kind of part and parcel to a tired immune system that's becoming exhausted and worn down from chronic low-grade infections, whereas I don't technically know if anybody dies from fungal infections of the toenails, but if I asked you, would you rather be without it? I already know what the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I ask so many rhetorical questions? It's just...
Because you're an inquisitive person. My husband's big toenails look like petrified wood. Oh, my goodness.
You mean from the Amazon rainforest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But several years ago, I heard you mention that, so I have not worn fingernail polish since then, and I just always wondered why. Because you never did elaborate on why.
No, I didn't flesh it.
You know, you just make a couple of comments that's not good, so I thought, well, why is it not good? So now I know.
You know, down from my office, there's a nail place, and boy, do the women line up to get their nails done.
Oh, yeah, I'm a hairdresser. Yeah, I know all about that stuff, yeah.
You know what? You do know all about that stuff. Now...
But,
Tell me, what is the number one reason why women come to see you? Just go ahead and break it down for me.
Well, they like my haircuts. But,
well, is there anything else? There's no.
Well, and I don't do manicures. That just takes too long. So.
Well, let me ask you this. Do they like the stimulating conversation you give them?
Well, I work alone, so it's kind of my ministry. So we
it
talk
is
about
your
Bible
ministry.
And, yes,
wow.
Yes.
Okay, then I'm going to be really personal. Tell me one Bible story that you have discussed this last week with somebody.
God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of a love and power and sound mind.
Amen. Mm-hmm. There's the basis for life right there. Mm-hmm. We move toward love, we move away from fear, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Would you believe me if I told you I read a survey the other day, and in this survey it showed that, or demonstrated by the answers of the participants, that a full 95% of all people are living more in fear than they are in love. Right?
I refuse. There are 7,680 promises in the Bible, and that's one of them.
How many?
7,680 promises in the Bible. Only God can make that many promises and never break a single one. And that's enough to have a promise a day for 21 consecutive years.
I think you found your calling, young lady.
Well, my calling is doing hair.
Well, the hair is just a ruse for you to be a minister.
Yeah, it's a platform. It's a platform.
Oh, no, it's a ruse. You're tricking everybody that walks in the door. They think they're there for a haircut, but they're... But see, I can tell already.
Well, I
you're
going to
build people up.
Yeah, well, when they're sitting in my chair, I have a captive audience. So if they don't want to hear anything about God, but they can go find another hairdresser.
Oh, my goodness. You are one hardcore woman.
Well, you know...
Do they know they're being duped?
Probably. But I tell you, I have a perpetual ongoing prayer list. You know, there's so many needs and so much to pray about. And
I
one
know.
Of my callings is I am a prayer warrior. God did call me to pray.
Well, I know full well you hear bad things every week, don't you?
Well, not gossip type stuff, but stuff.
Well, that's
like,
not what I'm referring to.
Yeah,
but
you know,
you're talking
please,
about people suffering.
Yes, suffering issues. Yes.
I should have kind of said that more clearly. But you hear, because somebody doesn't come in to you just to get their hair cut, they get to tell you about their life. Because they trust you.
Yeah. But I do have the innate ability to, when they leave out, I forget what they say. I mean, my shop is in my home, and so when I walk out the beauty shop door, I everything stays there. I don't think about what,
okay.
even who I did that day, unless, you know, I'm mentioning in my prayers.
I need to ask you a serious question.
Okay.
Can you take a man... and apply a magic hair growth formula and make his hair look like Patrick Swayze's?
No, and if I could do that, I would do that on myself because I'm about 99% bald-headed.
I asked you a simple question and you couldn't deliver.
No. If I could do that. But I can pray for him. I can lay hands on him and pray
for
him.
You know what?
So.
Let me tell you what happened to me last night. The family was very hungry, and it was suggested that I should take the cow into town and sell it in order to gain money for food. But on the way there, I came across this very, very old woman. She was osteoporotic and bent over, and we struck up a conversation, and she told me that she would trade me the cow for some magic beans. And it wasn't well received when I got home. But I threw those beans in the backyard, and have you ever heard the story of Jack and the Beanstalk?
Sure.
Okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll find out.
Well, anytime you plant a seed, it usually grows, and only God can do that. But you have to plant a seed in order for it to grow. If you don't plant seeds, you're not going to get a crop.
Do you know what the secret to seeds is? You got to cover them in wood chips.
Why wood chips?
Because wood chips are the ultimate carbon-based fertilizer that it keeps getting better and better and better. And so I have all these people that have shown me the real secret to gardening has nothing to do with tilling or fertilizing. Mm-hmm. It's just putting rich, organic, decomposing material, which, you know, a smart girl and boy, they might could make an analogy for life about this. If you want things to grow, you might want to feed them and nourish them, right?
Yes.
Ah, you're a smart girl.
As much as possible.
That's right. I love it. Well, I'm so proud of you. Thank you for all you do. You're an inspiration.
I'm just glad that I live in a country where we don't get killed every time we want to go to church.
You could not say that in places like Yemen or Saudi Arabia or Iraq.
And that we were taught the truth about the one and only Lord and Savior, the Messiah.
It's a gift, isn't it?
Yes, I praise God every day.
You could have been raised in a country where you were taught that there was 50,000 gods, right?
Yes, and I only need one.
Well, I appreciate your phone call very much, but I would suggest to you that rubbing olive oil on your nail beds, it's going to make them... Oh,
I do. I have a bottle of all kinds of exotic oils, like jojoba oil and vitamin E oil, argan oil, castor oil, just all kinds of good oils.
Have you ever seen how they make argan oil?
No.
You got to watch the videos. They're incredible.
Well, I don't have a computer or any kind of a smartphone or any kind of high-tech devices. I live in the Stone Age, but I do have a telephone and TV.
Okay, all right then.
That's what I use for face cream. I mix all those oils together, and that's what. And I put it on my feet, and with magnesium and gel and stuff like that.
Oh, so, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Way to go.
Okay, well, Dr. Morgan, I appreciate you clearing that up about the finger polish. Lord bless you and your family richly.
Oh, thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.
Alrighty, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Miss Shirley told me this yesterday. She said the report from the CDC showed that among people that contracted the coronavirus, 85% of them were mask wearers. And so I'm trying to look that up, and I'm telling you, I don't even like what I'm reading. I mean, I just hate it because they will twist. When I say they, you know who I'm talking about. Here it is right here. A study conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that's called the CDC, if you didn't know that, they found that an overwhelming majority of individuals who contracted coronavirus had worn a mask or a face covering, proving that neither are effective at preventing the spread of COVID-19. Now, here's what they're saying about this. They're saying, well, that's not really true, but nearly three-quarters, that's like 85% of all people, really. 85% of all people interviewed in a non-peer-reviewed study. You see how they put in the word non-peer-reviewed? They're saying, unless our experts really, really, you know, break down all the words of the people, that doesn't mean anything. But anyway... nearly three-quarters of all people interviewed in a non-peer-reviewed study conducted by the CDC said that they had worn a mask or a cloth face covering while in public in the weeks leading up to their COVID-19 diagnosis. The report concluded that although people were wearing masks, that does not mean that they were wearing them properly, blah, and that the mask cannot be effectively worn while eating and drinking. Well, come on! Which human being is going to live without eating or drinking? Glenda told me yesterday that she was at a restaurant in Tyler. I won't say its name, Olivetta. And the wait staff literally blew up on a young father with small children because they didn't have the face mask on until they were seated. But as soon as they were seated from like 10 centimeters away from the front door at the table... then they could take the mask off. This is the biggest bunch of baloney of all time. You know, you tell me what you think about this. Well, actually, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I already have my own opinion about this. It's just nuts. When are people going to realize that it's the strength of your immune system that's at the core, and you got to use the wits that God's given you? Stay away from people that are coughing up green stuff. Don't kiss them on the lips. Save that for another day. All right. Calm down, Roy. Be nice to the caller. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm calling. My sister has restless leg syndrome really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, I heard you talk about the alfalfa tablets.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something she could take.
Yeah, and because the bottom line is, that's one aspect of restless leg syndrome, is they just don't have enough minerals and enough oxygen. Now, one possibility that I want to kind of float or cover with you, if she's, well, do you know anything about her health-wise? Does she take any drugs of any kind?
Yes, she takes quite a few drugs.
Well, let me just say this way. There are so many drugs. One of the websites that I go to, maybe not every single day of the week, but I'm going to say 2 to 3 days every week, I'm looking up a drug because I want to find out, oh, can this drug cause an iron deficiency? But it's very, very common with restless leg. As a woman, it's probably going to be borderline anemic or anemia.
Okay.
And so many drugs that are prescribed. I mean, the other day I was reading, have you ever heard of a drug called metformin?
No.
Metformin is a drug used for diabetics. And in a study, my jaw kind of dropped open. I said, you got to be kidding me. But it was saying in this one study that even if you stop taking metformin for 3 years afterwards, it can contribute toward anemia. I'm going, man, talk about leaving a mark or an impact on a person's body. Whoa, that's horrible. But anyway, she's probably low in iron. Now, let me give you like a way to kind of sort through this, okay?
Okay.
All right. There is a food-based substance in nature. It's called blackstrap molasses.
Okay.
And so in order to make sugarcane look beautiful and clean and white, they got to strip all the minerals out of it that make it look dirty. Because, you know, if you look at raw sugar, it doesn't look white. It looks kind of brown with flakes in it, which if you're going to have sugar, raw sugar is the way to go. But if she started taking like maybe one good, generous tablespoon a day, then that could be a game changer for her.
Okay.
Now, the other thing that I want to say is, have you ever heard of a nutrient called vitamin C?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I take it every day.
I wasn't trying to talk down to you. I'm just worked out that way. But vitamin C, it has this most unique ability to enhance the absorption and assimilation and usage of iron. And so a lot of times you're going to get iron mainly from things like unsulfured blackstrap molasses, or another way of saying this, since she's all girl, maybe we could give her some grass-fed beef.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that she would eat like a hamburger steak or a ribeye steak?
As a matter of fact, they just killed a calf.
Wait.
Eating that.
I've got my pen handy. What is their exact physical location address in case I happen to drive by today? I can just... Hi, I'm Dr. Morgan.
They live in Central Texas, so it might be a drive.
You know what? You're being very difficult. But if she could have that. But but then the other thing is, I didn't say this to the gentleman caller earlier, but this is what I meant when I said it. It is just too hard to get potassium from a pill. I just don't even agree with that. But if she had one big green salad a day, my goodness, she's probably going to get 5,000 milligrams of food-based potassium. And let me say it this way. When potassium is in rich reserve and good supply in the body, oh my goodness, the blood flows so much faster. The blood is so much cleaner. Sometimes I'll look at a person that has low potassium and I'm going, hey, you got dirty blood. And then they tell me, the wife told me this week, she said, if we take and prick my husband's finger to test his blood sugar in a glucometer, she said, we squeeze and squeeze and squeeze and nothing comes out. It's like a drop of coal that's coming out. I'm going, dude, that's dirty, dirty blood. Let's get your blood clean.
Uh-huh.
Which the point is, the way that you get your blood clean is you stop eating sugar and junk food. And you start putting things in your body that can clean your blood. So I'm in love with lemons. You know how to say lemon in Espanol?
No.
I do, because I asked. It's limon.
Oh.
You probably could have figured that out, right?
Eventually.
Se habla español, señora? But if you took the juice of one lemon and squeezed it in a glass of water and she could stir in some blackstrap molasses, Oh, my goodness. That will be called the elixir of life to her. She will all of a sudden have a fresh supply of oxygen delivered to her legs at night.
Okay. And should she do that several times a day? Or
oh, my goodness, yes.
At night?
Oh, yes. Okay. And how does that affect me if she has diarrhea? No, I'm just joking about that. No, it'll be fine. Sometimes if you get more minerals than what your body's used to, you can have a little bit of a loose stool, like if you get too much vitamin C or too much magnesium. I'm not trying to sabotage her. But like I told the caller earlier, if she will practice rubbing olive oil into her legs, I can almost guarantee you her legs are starving for nutrients. And when you get that super delicious green yellow olive oil, you know what it gives it the color? Chlorophyll.
Okay.
Chlorophyll is one of the greatest remedies on the planet.
Sounds great.
So if she's in Central Texas, you're not going to go rub oil on her legs today, are you?
No, not today.
Okay.
I might give her a call, though.
As soon as you get off the phone with me?
Yes.
Okay, so blackstrap molasses, fresh lemon juice. It cannot be the lemon juice that has been cooked and pasteurized. And, you know, here's what I want you to think of, because I really believe this is the core of restoring one's health. You know full well that if you walked out into the garden and you ripped off a kale leaf and you chewed it up, that fresh living kale leaf is just chock full of living enzymes and nutrients, and that's a game changer for your health. That's what I call vital life force. It's got life in it. Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you go to the store and you buy a Pop-Tart, that does not have life in it. It has a shelf life of... Yeah, I mean, I would eat a Pop-Tart if it was the only thing to eat. But if I had a choice, oh no, I'm going to get out there and start eating some living stuff if I can get my hands on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day, ma'am, and I really appreciate you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Oh my goodness, she's so sweet. She's so much fun to talk to. Have I ever talked to her before? I don't know, maybe. I don't have everybody's voice memorized. I mean, I talk to people all day long. They act like they know me when they call me, and I'm thinking, do you mind telling me who this is? The number's 903-586-5257. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm sure glad I got through to you today.
I am, too. Thanks for calling.
I'm feeling really bad.
For what reason?
Well, I have strained my back a month ago. I'm 80 years old, and I strained my back. I was helping move a piano. And
really? They said, here's an 80-year-old man. Let's ask him to move a piano.
Yeah.
Okay.
And ever since then, I've had serious back problems, back pain, and I've been to two different chiropractors.
Any of them help?
I think they made it worse.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry.
They twisted my back really hard, jerked it back and forth.
But there's nothing to show for it as far as improvement, right?
Right. No. In fact, it's worse.
Well, let me tell you something I want you to do that's not going to be super, super painful. I mean, it might be a little bit because it tastes bad, but it may be very helpful. If you can you get out and drive right now, or are you pretty much not able to do that?
Yeah, I could drive.
Okay, where do you live?
Beckville.
Okay, so you have access to either the, well, not today, but you have access to either Natural Grocer or to Drug Emporium, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, here's what I want you to do. And do you have a pencil handy?
Yes.
Hey, listen, buddy. We got to turn this around where you can get some relief here.
But I'd like to tell you what the worst problem is, though.
You have a worse problem?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, what is it?
Well, for somehow that affects my blood pressure, and this morning.
Well, heck yeah, it does. Because you're in severe pain.
I was sleeping, and at 7 o'clock this morning, I was awakened by spike in my blood pressure really high. It went up to about 180 over 190 over 100.
Well, it's going to be
my pulse was 89.
Well, that means your body's under severe stress from the pain. That's all normal. I understand that. But I agree.
It woke me up, and I was dizzy. I couldn't hardly even walk. Couldn't stand up. And I kept taking my blood pressure, and it gradually went down to where it's still pretty high, but I feel terrible.
Well, let's talk about a solution.
The pain in my back radiated like a hot...
Oh, yes, I believe you. Let's talk about a solution.
Okay.
What I want you to do is I want you to go buy a fresh clove of garlic at the grocery store.
I have some garlic.
Then you're good to go then. So you take a fresh clove of garlic, and I want you to crush it. If you have any milk at the house, this would be one situation where that'd be okay. If you have orange juice, crush the clove of garlic and put it in either the orange juice or milk and let it sit for about 20 minutes. And then drink it and chew it up. I mean, the garlic. Hopefully the milk will not be clabbered after 20 minutes. And so... Mm-hmm. You're going to do that. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to buy lemons. I need you through faith, by faith, with faith, to cut the lemon in half and wedge it or whatever you want to do. I need you to start rubbing the lemon juice on the painful area of your back and your neck as if your life depends on it. Let the lemon juice air dry and then do it over and over and over again. But you're going to have to get minerals into your body for this death grip called a spasm and severe inflammation to release. And so they sell what's called magnesium oil in a spray bottle, even at Walmart. I think it goes for like $7 or maybe $8. You can spray that on. So we've got lemon juice that we're going to rub on there every 15 minutes. It's very sticky because of the glucose content. Just do it if you want the pain to go away, and I know you do. That's kind of a rhetorical statement on my part. You know how I am.
Yeah.
And so if you'll do that, then the next thing I want you to do is I want you to start taking what's called Arnica Montana. It's a homeopathic remedy. I want you to take it every 15 minutes throughout the day, all day long today.
Arnica Montana.
Mm-hmm.
What does that come in the form of a...
It comes in... You can get a gel to rub it on the area of pain, and that's fine. If you go to Drug Emporium and say, Dr. Morgan sent you, they'll say, oh, we see where we're going with this, and they'll get you right to it, or they'll go get it for you and bring it to you.
And so you rub it on external?
You can. You can take it external, or you can get the pellets and take them internal. But that will help heal your body. And that's what you got to have right now, so... I want you to know something. I am totally sympathetic to what you're going through because I've been there and I hate it. I hate it for you, but I don't know that I can get over because of my schedule today and take care of you. So, but if you can endure some pain and suffering and get to the store and do these things,
mm-hmm.
But if you will do these right now, does the idea of heat sound good?
Yeah.
Well, let's start putting a hot pack on there all day long. I mean, don't burn yourself. But right now, we've got to get you to a point where you can start to get the upper hand. And I can tell you right now, if you do these things, you'll be in a different place tonight.
I was just getting dressed to go to the emergency room. I was that bad.
Well, you can go if you want to.
I don't want to because I've been to the emergency room twice for this.
Well, I can tell you what lives at the emergency room. It's called Corona. I don't want you getting anything. Your body is stressed to the max. Okay, number one, I can't legally tell you what to do over the radio. That's just ridiculous.
I know.
But I tell you, buddy, I love you. I want you to get some results. So if you want to go start rubbing lemon juice on your backside where it hurts severely, just let me know within a couple hours if you're in a better place. If you need to go to the ER, you go to the ER. But under the stress you're under, I don't want you to get sick and have a different problem. And by the way, if you contract the coronavirus or another illness like a staph infection while you're there, guess who's going to foot the bill for that? It ain't going to be the hospital. It's going to be you.
Yeah.
So let's just get you to a good place. And if you'll start doing these things right now your fortunes, if God looks upon you with favor, and I want him to, your fortunes may start to turn for the better, where you start to have hope, and you can cry out to God in gratitude and say, thank you, Lord, for coming to my aid. I mean, I'm almost positive there are many people that are listening right now that are praying for you. What is your first name?
Charles.
Charles. You can do it, Charles. Let's just tap into the healing ability of the human body.
Is this going to get better, or is it going to get worse?
Charles, I'm telling you right now, buddy, we're doing this as if it's going to get better. That's why you're calling me, because you want to try. I can't promise you anything, and I'm not one to string a person along and offer them the moon and the stars, but we got to try and see. And so I want to encourage you, Charles, try. Do it right now, and let's see if we can get you better. But we got to get you to a good place where you can start getting up and moving and walking. And then we can start doing stretches. My favorite stretch of all time for severe low back pain is squatting with your heels on the ground like you're going to the bathroom in the woods. Or if you're a Chinaman smoking a cigarette, it all looks the same.
Okay.
I know, because I see Chinese people squatting and smoking cigarettes all the time. But that's what it looks like.
But okay, to review these treatments, garlic crushed.
Yeah, and a glass of orange juice or milk. Let it soak for 20 minutes, drink it down and chew it up. See if your pain's better. I know that's a super-duper old folk remedy from 200 years ago, but I have seen it work, Charles. Don't ask me how to explain it to make sense. And the next thing, Arnica Montana. Then we're going to put fresh lemon juice every 15 minutes. Rub it on, baby. You can do it. The honeybees may come up to you and lick your skin, but who cares?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll sting you and give you some pain relief.
So the garlic crush with milk, it's only internal.
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Yeah, you drink that. And
then do everything else. But the only way that you're going to get through this is if you can start moving and bending. And also, I think you should probably write a nice note to the person that asked you to move the piano. It should say the following. Wait a second. This is a family program. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, Charles, we're out of time by about 1 minute. I want you to know I love you and care about you. Do these things and let me know if they help greatly, okay?
Yes, thank you, Dr.
You're
Morgan.
Welcome, buddy. Don't be fearful. Expect something good, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.